This is Dr. Sampson Davis Health and Survival Plan. I am Dr. Sampson Davis, and thank you for joining me on this podcast today. As you know, I am a board-certified emergency medicine physician. I've been practicing now, get this, close to 15 years. 15 years as of July 15th. I'm sorry, July 1st. July 1st would make 15 years of practice in emergency medicine. And I tell you, I don't know where the time has gone. I've seen everything from people being murdered or killed on the streets coming into the emergency department, me trying to save their lives, to heart attacks, to strokes, to delivering precious brand new babies into the world, to pronouncing someone dead and having to take that moment, which is always a very heavy moment, and going to tell the loved ones and the family that their person in their life is gone. It's always difficult. However, as a society, you know, I think we're conditioned to know that a mature, older person is expected to move on. And so it's always easier, but it's the little babies that's the very difficult and very tough ones to sort of share that moment with the families and say that that person is gone. Still to this day, one of the most difficult parts of practicing emergency medicine for me. In the beginning, emergency medicine was always one of those things that was just full of adrenaline. I called it coffee on coffee because there's so much excitement and so much lure that you don't even need a cup of coffee to really go into the hospital and practice emergency medicine. It's just the surroundings itself is going to give you that rush of caffeine for the soul and to keep you moving around. So it's a lot of excitement there. But I tell you, after 15 years of practicing, this is the position that I need to take. And it's going to offend some of you. And I don't care because you need to hear this. And here's the point. Stop coming to the emergency room for non-emergent issues. You need to call and schedule an appointment with your doctor, and you need to follow up accordingly. The emergency department is not the microwave of medicine. It's not meant to be a sort of fast process or an immediate process. It's called the emergency department because it's an emergency. And so what I'm seeing now is that emergency medicine, get this, many of you don't know this, emergency medicine has bloomed to over 140 million patients a year. 140 million patients a year, which means that half the population of the United States use the emergency department. Now, that's not saying that out of the 300 million people, 140 million or 150 million people come into the emergency department. That's one visit per person. No. What I've seen is a subculture in which 5 to 10% of the population use the emergency department 70 to 80% of the time. Totally overwhelming the staff, totally overwhelming the department, totally taken away from sick people. And so the consequences is that the staff is burnt out, the nurses are tired. In most emergency departments, I cover, get this, 9 different emergency departments in the state of New Jersey. 9. So at any given moment, I'm at a different emergency department. Always understaffed, always overworked, and always under high demand. There's no other profession in this country where there's so much pressure to perform in any given circumstance and taking care of so many people, and then having to sort of filter out those who are really sick and those who aren't. So my point is to stop coming to the emergency room if you're not sick. If it is a chronic condition, then you need to get on the phone and due diligence, call up your doctor and make an appointment. And it's more efficient for you. It helps with your time. Look, the emergency department, I get it, is very convenient, very convenient. You can come all times of day, all times of night, holidays, weekends, birthdays, bar mitzvahs, you name it, special occasions, graduations, prom, you know, it's just like it fits into your everyday schedule. So as a person who's using the emergency department, it is convenient. But again, it's not a microwave process. It's not meant to come and sort of just fix the situation real fast and everything is great. Every emergency medicine department requires a follow-up visit with your primary care physician, which means once you're done, you're supposed to jump on the phone, call your doctor up and make a follow-up appointment. Not because I want you to waste time. It's because it gives you the best results for your visit. It allows for continuity for follow-up to make sure you're getting better. Most people who come to the emergency department don't follow up. So when you leave, if you're there for a true emergency, when you leave, you have to, one, read your discharge instructions. Do not make it out the door without, or make it home, rather, and not read your discharge instructions. Most people, by the time they get home, they already chuck their emergency department instructions into the garbage. They don't bother reading. They don't bother understanding what was wrong with them. So you need to understand why you were there and what your diagnosis was and understand your discharge instructions. And you need to follow up. That's if you are there for a true emergency. But if you're there for chronic issues or ongoing issues that's non-emergent, you must stop using the emergency department for these non-emergent issues. Call and schedule an appointment with your doctor. And the point with this is not because I don't want to see you. I want to take care of you. I do want you to get better. But when you show up in the emergency department for issues that are ongoing, long-standing, or malingering, or other issues that are not true emergency, you're taken away from those who are really sick. It's not a place where we have a surplus of doctors. I already told you we're on the staff. We don't have a surplus of nurses. So the sick individual, those who are not feeling well, requires immediate attention. Those who have life-threatening injuries or life-threatening circumstances requires attention. If you're there for issues that are stable, which means they're not going to die in the next few minutes, or that later that day, or whatever the situation may be, the circumstances may be, then your wait time is going to be a bit longer. It's going to be a slow bake process. It's not going to be a microwave process for you. And so for me, it's important to let you know the reason I'm taking this stance is to make sure that you use your time the most efficient and get the expected outcome that you desire. You go to your favorite restaurant for your favorite meal to have that favorite feeling. So therefore, if you come into the emergency department, if it's not an emergent issue, you may not be seen right away. You may not get the outcome you desire. You may not get the results you desire. So you want to go to the place for the right situation. If you have chronic skin issues, then you want to see a dermatologist. If you have chronic back pain, you want to go see a pain management specialist, or you want to see your orthopedic doctor, your bone doctor. And I only illustrate that because I don't want you to waste your time. So stop using the emergency department for non-emergent issues. It's just as simple as that. And speaking of back pain, I was working 3 days ago. I was working a night shift, and I had a patient come in, Carl. And Carl was there. He was about 32 years old. And Carl had a complaint of back pain. He was complaining of back pain. And get this. You'll find this funny. Carl came in and Carl said to me, "Hey, Doc, I'm here for my Percocet." As if I had a chuckle, because as if I had a candy dish of M&Ms and Percocets. You know, like, Carl, no, you just don't come to the emergency department demanding narcotic medications. And so as Carl was telling me his story and how he was there for his refill of his Percocet, I had another patient being brought in, being pushed through the doors with EMS, the ambulance crew. And the patient was coming in and was being a patient, John. It was a 65-year-old grandfather. And John, early that day, was out playing with his grandson. And he wasn't feeling well. After the playing with his grandson, John was a big soccer fan, and at 65 years old, he was a recent retiree. And he noticed that he wasn't sort of as active that day as he normally was. He was not feeling his normal self. And so John decided, to go lay down. So he made it throughout the day, and later that night, John got up to go use the bathroom, and he fell to the floor and collapsed. And so John's wife, Margaret, found him and called EMS, and he was rushed into the hospital. So John arrived, and his wife, Margaret, wasn't too far, and his grandson, Jacob, who they was watching for the weekend, was with them as well. And so she told me the story, and as I was going through the process of taking care of John, so as Carl was telling me his story about his back pain, I noticed to my right, the ambulance door opening up an EMS, the ambulance crew rushing in with another patient. And they say, "Doc, we need you right away." So I left Carl's side and I ran to the patient that EMS was bringing in. And they were telling me that he was critical, that he wasn't doing well, that his blood pressure was low, and that he was complaining of chest pain. And so I came to find out that this patient, his name was John, who was a 65-year-old recent retiree, was out playing soccer earlier that day with his grandson, Jacob. And he wasn't feeling well, but instead of coming to the emergency department right away, he went to go lay down for a bit. And so the day went on. He never felt quite the same that day, but he never mentioned it to his wife. And so he got up in the later of the night to go use the bathroom, and John collapsed. And he was still having the chest pain. Margaret did the right thing. She called the ambulance crew, and they came and brought him to the emergency department right away. And so we quickly transported John. I moved John, this 65-year-old, recent retiree. He was pretty well fit to be 65. He was 6'2", 180 pounds, so he was in pretty good shape, very active. But he didn't go to the doctor that often, as Margaret came to tell me later. And so I quickly moved John to the next stretcher. We hooked him up to the blood pressure machine. We got an EKG. And I could tell by the electrocardiogram and EKG, all those stickers that we put on your chest and print out that machine. It prints out the paper. That red paper has the kind of squiggly lines on this red sort of box paper. And so the EKG showed that John was having a heart attack. He was having a heart attack. And by way of the EKG and the way John was looking, he was flushed, his blood pressure was low, he was sweating, he was restless. You know, he wasn't really doing well. And I had to really move expeditiously in order to save John's life. And in emergency medicine, in a true emergent case, seconds matters. So every second that goes by and I'm not doing what is necessary for you, you stand a chance of losing your life. And so I'm working diligently on John to try to stabilize him. I run fluids in his IV. We get an IV line. I put fluids in his IV. I give him an aspirin. I give him medications to help increase his blood pressure. And I tell my nursing staff to make sure that we also get the cardiologist on the phone because we have to get John right away to the cath lab. And the cath lab is a place where we go to do a procedure in order that we can open up the blood vessel that's in the heart. And by opening up the blood vessel, what you do is you stop the heart attack from happening, or you prevent the heart attack from ongoing. And so in this case, again, seconds count. And what do you know it? As I'm doing all this, looking at his, talking to his wife, Margaret, and Jacob half asleep, resting on Margaret's shoulder, where you believe Carl then comes up and starts to yell. And you ask, now, who's Carl? Forget about Carl. Carl is the guy with the back pain. He's like, "Doctor, I've been here for 75 minutes, an hour and 15 minutes, almost an hour and a half, and you haven't given me my Percocet yet." And so I wipe my brow. And I say, "Carl, I'm dealing with an emergency here. I have a patient here who's very sick, who has a life-threatening situation, who I need to address right now. I will be with you. Please go back to your room." So Carl starts to yell, "This is crazy. I've been here a long time. You're not taking my situation serious. I'm going to call the hospital administrator. I'm going to complain about you." I said, "Well, Carl, make sure you get my first name and my last name correct, because I'm dealing with a situation and I need you to go back to your room right away." So I had security escort Carl back to his room. And so fortunately, I was able to get John off to the emergency department. Fortunately, I was able to get John off to the cath lab, and all turned out well. And I was able to then address Carl and discharge him with non-narcotic medications. And so John was go follow up with his doctor. But the point is this: the emergency department is used for emergencies. If you're there for non-emergent issues, you have to keep in mind that emergent issues will take precedence. They will rise to the top, and is where all our attention will be given from the emergency people taking care of the department. Also, if you're there for chronic issues, you may not get the outcome you desire because the emergency department is meant to be used for emergency. It's not a place where I necessarily diagnose you with things, but it's a place where I make sure that you're not dying. And after that, you need to follow up with your doctor. Or if you have issues that are chronic and are longstanding, then you need to follow up with the specialist in that area. So if you have chronic stomach pain, then you need to see a gastroenterologist, which is a doctor who works specifically on the intestines and the intestinal pathway. So stop using the emergency department for non-emergent issues. You must call and schedule an appointment to follow up with your doctor or your specialist. The other thing that I see a lot in our emergency department, which is brand new and have increased, is the amount of intoxicated people. Back in the day, last century, if you were out at a party having a great time and got too drunk and fell out on the street, you were picked up by the police if you were sitting out there and you were taken to a drunk tank. Unfortunately, a few people died that way. And so now, everyone is brought to the emergency department to have a medical screening exam. Again, this crowds the emergency department. This takes away from resources, and it takes away from people who are really sick. So my advice to those who like to go out and drink and booze and have a good time, do it in the confines of your home. Don't fall out on the street, because you will be brought to the emergency department, and you will be kept in the emergency department until your alcohol level is below the legal limit. So let's play the scenario out so that you know and understand. If you come into the emergency department and I feel that you are intoxicated or you're acting intoxicated, and we do a blood level, and your blood level comes back that you have a high alcohol content, just say the number to be 300, and the legal limit is 80. So if you're 300, you're about four times over the legal limit. I then have to wait until your number drops down below 80 or 80 or below. So you clear alcohol, you metabolize or clear alcohol from your bloodstream. You clear about that number being 300, you clear about 25. So you go from 300 to 275. It takes 1 hour. So for you to get from 300 to 200 is 4 hours. From 200 to 100 is another 4 hours. And from 100 to 80 is another hour. So you're looking at being held in the emergency department for 9 hours until you can go home. Isn't it easier just to go get drunk at home? So I only mention that, obviously, from a medical viewpoint, you shouldn't reach a level of being that intoxicated, obviously. But at the same time, the emergency department is used for emergencies. So stop using the ER for these non-emergent issues. Call and follow up. Here are some tips. I'm not saying don't ever come to the emergency department. I'm saying if you don't feel well, if you think it's an emergency, by all means, make your way there. What's the best way to come? If you're having a severe true emergency, then call ambulance, 911. Everyone knows 911. I know it. You know it. We all know it. But if you have a chronic condition like ankle pain for 2 years, if you call an ambulance, then you should be fine. You know why? Because that ambulance is taken away from someone who may really need it. Imagine that was your grandfather, John, who needed that ambulance. And he could not get the ambulance because here you are with 2 years of ankle pain calling 911 for an ambulance ride over to the hospital. It is not an Uber. The ambulance is not an Uber. It's not a taxi cab. It's the most expensive limousine you can take. You know, so do not use the ambulance for chronic non-emergent issues. It's taken away from those who need it the most. Also keep in mind that the emergency department is not a hotel, it's not a restaurant, it's not a social gathering or a club scene. So don't get there and expect me to feed you, house you, give you soap to bathe, or have all your friends come and talk to you on social media or FaceTime or Snapchat. It's not a place for a gathering. It's really again, it's only a small population, 5 to 10% of the population, who's using the emergency department for the majority of the time. If you're listening to this and you're like me, you've probably only been to the emergency department once or twice in your life for real, true issues. So that's okay. Keep coming. I'm there to take care of you. But I'm talking to those, that subset of the population who use it for everything, who think it's one glove at all, and it's not. It's not meant for you to be there if it's non-emergent. So stop using it for non-emergent issues. It's not a place where it's one stop solves all. You must follow up with your primary care physician, and you must read your discharge instructions. And if you're not getting better, if there's been a change in your condition that is causing you pain or you feel any type of way that you're not stable, then please, 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 by all means, call 911, come back to the emergency department, and I will take care of you. Great talking to you. Join me next time as we discuss the latest and the greatest in medicine in the real world. Make sure to follow me on social media under Dr. Sampson Davis. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Pick up my latest book, Living and Dying in Brick City, Stories from the Front Line of an Inner City Emergency.